Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagura.
I'm just going to ask a couple questions. Do you like music? Vic, do you like music?
I love music. Vic, I don't like it. Vic, I love it.
Do you like food trucks?
Food trucks are my favorite kind of trucks. When I see a food truck, I say, that's
I'm
just
hungry.
A thing of beauty. I'm hungry. It makes me hungry.
Vic,
I want to stop and eat.
Do you like beer gardens?
They're the best kind of gardens. I mean, people can talk about tulips and they can talk about vegetables. No, beer growing from the ground is the best kind of garden.
Especially a Browns branded beer garden. I mean, could you think of a better thing?
Can you pick the beer?
Like, yes.
Like you can
yes,
tomatoes?
You can pick it. Well, guess what? You can have all of those things in one place. It's called the Dog Pound Drive, the Cleveland Browns fan pregame. It's new, it's interactive, and the best of all, it's free for you, amigos. Don't miss the music. Don't miss the food trucks. Don't pluck your beer from the beer garden anywhere else. Only here. It's all happening next to First Energy Stadium on Alfred Lerner Way, starting 3 hours before every home kickoff. Don't miss this Saturday's Dog Pound Drive pregame before the Browns versus Rams from 5 to 8 p.m. As, yes, the
and
game does start.
Kickoff.
It's an 8 p.m. kick. Vic was getting excited. He was looking at Central Time. He's planning his move to Chicago or something. We'll see what happens there, but we're going to keep them in the Eastern time zone for
now.
And the game will be at 8 o'clock. So listen, but if you get there at 7, if you heard that and Vic got you there early, guess what? You would thank him because he did you a favor because you're going to be at the Dog Pound Drive on Alfred Lerner Way 3 hours before kickoff.
And even though this wasn't my intent, I'll admit that.
Sometimes, though, good things happen.
Exactly, because there is a push. We had the fan who called us in the other day who was part of the fan council that the Browns are consult with to get ideas from fans. Mm-hmm. And this gentleman said one of the keys that the team is pushing is getting fans to the games earlier than they've been in the past. Get them in their seats earlier so that you have the full home field advantage going on from the first minute of the game. And what ways can the team attract people into the stadium sooner? Well, one way is you just mentioned it, that Dog Pound pregame bash on Alfred Lerner Way.
I mean, it is going to be epic, and it is going to be a lot of fun. We'll see what happens.
How do they do
there?
It's
fancy soil. That's what I think. Fancy soil. All right, so this game is coming up against the Rams. It's coming up tomorrow night. It's coming up at 8 o'clock, the debut of the new First Energy Stadium. Kevin Griffin, Vice President of Fan Experience, will be with us to talk about what you can expect at the stadium, what the new features are for you to check out. But we want to know what you want to check out in this game. To me, it's all about the offense. Can we get any kind of offensive continuity? I want to see this defense continue to be stout against the run like it was against Alfred Morris. I want to see that continue against Zach Stacy, and I want to see them get to the quarterback. And if RG3 wasn't as mobile as he was, they would have had many sacks, more than the two from the first team D from Armani Bryant and Paul Kruger. Can they get to Sam Bradford? That's going to be something to keep an eye on. But really, to me, it's all about I want to leave the first half at First Energy Stadium feeling good about this offense, feeling like it's going to be at least competent. I don't need this to be a top 10 offense in the National Football League. I need it to be competent, able to score points, because with this defense, if the offense can do that, then all of a sudden it's time to forget perspective and time to get optimistic.
You know, I want to feel that way too about this offense. I'm not confident I'm going to, based on A, what we've seen, and B, what this Rams defense, at least the starting unit, can do. It's a good defense, and it's a physical defense, and it's a talented, quick off the ball kind of defense. It has all the antidotes for what you're going to try to do offensively. And by the way, those antidotes have worked against much better offenses than the one we think the Browns is going to field Saturday night and what they've fielded so far. So it's going to be an enormous challenge. If indeed they get to that place that you are, where you're satisfied with seeing that improvement and feeling good about it, then that is quite an accomplishment. I'll believe it when I see it. That's the area that's lagging. The big thing, though, is Brian Hoyer. Does he show ownership of the position? Does he now take it to the next level? He's got the job now, but can his play make the statement of confidence and trust that it's his job and not something where he's unsure of himself and wavering, which I thought was pretty much the way he was approaching the games when he was, quote, in competition against Johnny Manziel?
Yes, I want to see him come out and own this team. And again, when you can go against this defense and you can be very good, this was a top 10 rush defense, top 15 overall total defense last year. They were number 9 in the league in turnover differential. If this offense can show some things, against this defense, this Rams defense that, again, was in the top half of the league in basically every single category, number three in sacks behind only the Buffalo Bills last year and, of course, the Kansas City Chiefs. So this was a team that was able to get to the quarterback and it was able to get there, I'm sorry, behind the Carolina Panthers as well, able to get to the quarterback and keep people out of the end zone. So if you can see Brian Hoyer show things against this Rams team, that is going to make me feel very good. This is a good test for this team and a great test for our tackles, Joe Thomas, and, of course, Mitchell Schwartz, who is a little bit maligned or beleaguered after the Monday night game against Washington because no duo in the National Football League had more sacks last year than the duo of Robert Quinn and Chris Long, who combined for 27 and a half last season.
Yeah, it's quite a it's quite a pairing, and the entire defense. I mean, this is Jeff Fisher's team, and you know it's going to have a strong defensive tone to it because that's Jeff's background, and he's always managed to do that. Did that in Tennessee when he was the head coach there. Did that earlier when he was a defensive coordinator, going back to the days in Houston, or worked as a defensive coach, and now with the St. Louis Rams, the talent he has that's been put together. And the philosophical approach of how they tear after it. And Brian Hoyer's ability to hold up against the pass rush will be tested. But I'll tell you this, he's also had great protection. That's been that's been true in two preseason games so far. It's been true in just about every practice we've seen of him working behind that first unit line. Hats off to the way this Browns offensive line has operated for the most part. I know there's been a lot said about Mitchell Schwartz's game against the Redskins, and a lot of that came about because of that first play, and as Solomon Wilcots was just talking with us, the snap, the timing, the bad timing of the snap from Alex Mack to Brian Hoyer put everybody in off-kilter mode. So we'll see if they're able to synchronize and get it all back together against this club.
Yeah, he's only been under pressure three times and 21 dropbacks thus far in the preseason. You want to see that continue. And one of those pressures was, of course, on the botch snap, as you talked about, the mistimed snap on the first play of the first series for him against the Redskins. Josh Gordon, interesting. What's going to happen? A lot of people think today's the day that you're going to hear because it typically comes down on a Friday.
Right.
If you don't hear anything about Josh Gordon today, Vic, what does this coaching staff do with him? Because he put forth an effort that suggested he was already gone on Monday night. Do you give him reps knowing that this thing is coming down? What do you do? This is your final tune-up. And I would say at this point, the NFL has done such a disservice to this team, and it's a joke, quite frankly, Roger Goodell, a joke, J-O-K-E, joke, that they have to even contemplate potentially what they're going to do in their tune-up for a guy that probably, if they're going to be suspending him, should have been suspended weeks or months ago.
I agree. I mean, if this weren't a Browns show, I'd say the same thing.
It's a joke, period.
This
is awful. Being held
to do this, to do this to a team, and basically, and I know your common theme, at the end of every show, you whisper the words, free Josh Gordon. And I think what you're saying, at least in part, is free everybody attached to this from the not knowing,
the
right?
Uncertainty.
I mean, the uncertainty of it all. Come down with a ruling, make a decision, let this team know what's going to happen. And I agree with you. It's a disservice. It's a problem. It's a dilemma for this coaching staff because now you have a couple of things at work. You have a coaching staff trying to figure out what's the best way to give reps to the receivers who will be playing, who are going to, you can count on, you hope, for a full season, barring health concerns. And the notion that you would be working with a guy who is going to see possibly no season this year in your lineup as a starter. So we're juggling that dilemma. And then adding to the burden, I think now, is evidence that this has gotten to Josh psychologically, that we saw a guy detached in every possible
way. It seemed that way. It certainly seemed that way.
And for the head coach to call him out and call attention to that underscored a feeling that was within the football team, that Josh Gordon didn't want to be here. And there's and it's met with sort of an understanding, Nathan, that, well, you can get it, right? I mean, the guy doesn't know what his future is for this season, so how do you expect him to go out there and really put forth an effort? But the other part of that, the competitive part of it and the teammate aspect and the coaching aspect is we want to count on everyone who puts on pads, wears the uniform, and goes out in the game. We don't ever want to doubt that this person is with us tonight. So if that's the way he's approaching it, he almost forces the hand of this coaching staff, of Mike Pettine, at some point to think, well, if this has got him in the tank, then let him be in the tank sitting down, even if he's not suspended, sitting down. Don't put him out there. on that basis alone, because that's dangerous. You go out there half-hearted and half-injured as a football player, that can lead to severe injury.
You can get hurt in the National Football League, and it's also at this point one thing that we stressed all along with the need to make this quarterback decision when it was made was that you need to see continuity develop in this offense. You need to see the chemistry get down. And at this point, I know I guess it's still possible Josh is going to play, but it doesn't seem likely. Brian Hoyer needs as many reps with the guys he's going to be throwing the ball to September the 7th against the Steelers as possible.
Oh, for sure. You would think, and that would be the logic of this thing. Unfortunately, there's illogic when we're talking about how the league has approached it. And I've heard more than a few people within this organization say, you know, their conclusion is maybe just the league doesn't care, that the league operates on its own schedule, its own timetable and agenda. And as far as the team is concerned, the thinking is that, well, that's the team's problem, and that's not our problem. We're working at a much higher level, a much larger agenda. All right, coming up, we're going to talk about tomorrow night's fan experience, and it's going to be an interesting one as we talk about the first phase of renovations in First Energy Stadium, the $120 million renovations. And we're going to see a lot of new stuff at First Energy Stadium, including a certain dog by the name of Swagger. And to talk about that entire fan experience and give us a lot of details about what fans can look for, what they're going to be able to enjoy, will be Kevin Griffin, the Vice President of Fan Experience and Marketing for the Cleveland Browns. He's going to join us next on this Football Friday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, and we're driven by Liberty Ford. I thought I was crazy, 'cause I taped your picture.